Father, we give you praise. To you be all the glory. In Jesus' name. Amen. May please be seated.
Intensify you.
Praise the Lord. May please be seated. Still in our journey on spiritual growth, today the Lord has impressed our hearts to teach on what we have titled sacredness, dealing with spiritual familiarity. Can you shout glory? Familiarity is not always a bad thing or a bad idea. Familiarity actually means a level of close intimacy or friendliness with a person or a thing. However, familiarity can become a bad thing and hinder many good things, especially in your walk with God. I'm sure you've heard a statement before that says familiarity breeds contempt, right? Actually, what that statement means is that at a certain stage, a person can know too much detail about another person to the extent that they take that person for granted. In local parlance, it's called see finish. Are you with me? To the extent they can take that person for granted and even lose respect for them. And in the context of our spiritual lives and our spiritual growth, when a person feels that he knows God and he knows so much about God, if he's not careful, he can lose his sense of awe and his sense of wonder towards spiritual things. Sometimes even his sense of love, to the point where he's no longer blessed. This is a trap for many people who have been born again for a while and those who have been in church for a while too. Are you with me? Soon he can no longer even be taught. You know, many years ago I was in a church and they had a program and they invited a special guest minister, one of the old members of the church, an elderly man. He said, what do they want to bring this one to come and preach that they have not preached before? Do you understand what I'm trying to say? He was like, what is this one going to come and preach now that they have not preached before in this place? That's familiarity speaking. He feels he knows everything because he has heard a lot. But the Bible says, if any man thinks he knows anything, that should be 2 Corinthians chapter 8 from verse 2. He knows not as much as he needs to know. Are you getting what I'm saying? And if he's not careful, soon, even the very sins that he thought he overcame, he will be back there. And those sins will begin to find expression in his life again. To him, God is his friend. And so he has known God. So God will be fine. Are you getting what I'm saying? I'm telling you, this is the reality. It happens to people. And gradually, all his seriousness, all his fear of God, all his devotion, all his carefulness becomes eroded away because him and God are guys. What do you want to tell him? He has had all the encounters. He has gone to the third heaven. He has spoken in tongues and interpreted. He has prayed for the sick and they've recovered. So to him and God are guys. He can misbehave anyhow. Are you guys what I'm saying? He now plays with sin and the things of God. He has become familiar. In short, he has lost his sacredness. And let me tell you something. This is one of the biggest tools of the devil in the modern day church. The Bible says they have a form of godliness, but their life denies the power thereof. I've shared here before that was what Jesus was praying for Peter about. He said, Peter, the devil has desire to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. And if you know anything about a sifter or a filter, it is used to remove the smaller particles of a grain and leave the bigger particles inside it. And usually, grain, what makes the substance of grain is those small particles, those small things, all the small things that make up the grain. When you sift it, it's gone. You are now left with the chaff. It looks like something is there, but the substance is not there. The devil wants to sift you like wheat. Are you guys what I'm saying? All the small things that would have made you to matter is no longer there. Somebody said, it's all this, it doesn't matter. That makes people not to matter. Oh, that small thing, it doesn't matter. That's not an issue, it doesn't matter. Those are the small things that make people not to matter. He has become familiar. Spiritual familiarity. And the opposite of spiritual familiarity is sacredness. Can you say after me, sacredness? Look at Mark chapter 7 from verse 13. The Bible says, before I read, I want you to know that there is no casual service in New Bridge. Some of you must have noticed by now. Have you noticed? There is no service that the teaching is just there. No service. You know, one of our sisters was sharing with me that when she first came to New Bridge and attended the Sunday service, it was as if it was a convention. She heard the teaching. She thought it was a conference. And she came on midweek service and heard another teaching, and it felt like a conference again. So she said, do they hold conferences like this every service? Because, listen, Jesus sent us. Are you with me? With all sense of humility under God, Jesus sent me, sent us, sent you and me. Our work is serious. Are you getting me? Our work is serious. You know it in your heart. Every service you attend, that many more people need to hear this thing. You know. Many of you are listening to me. You know what I'm talking about. Mark chapter 7 verse 13. The Bible says, making the word of God of none effect through your tradition, which ye have delivered, and many such things like this ye do. Now, just is saying that you can make the word of God of no effect. Like, thy word, O Lord, that is settled in heaven, on earth, is settled. He's telling you that word of God, in the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and there was nothing made by him that was made. That word, you can make it of none effect in your life if you become familiar with it. Your tradition. Are you with me? You can make the word of God of null effect. You can get to the point where you can become too familiar that the power of God will not be functional in your life. What I'm saying is serious. Let me give an example. Matthew 13 verse 54 to 58. See, this subject of spiritual familiarity is a broad subject too, but I'm trying to narrow it down to sacredness. Matthew 13 verse 54 to 58, you will see something scary here. The Bible says, and when he was coming to his own country, he taught them in their synagogue, insomuch that they were astonished and said, whence has this man this wisdom and these mighty words? Verse 55, is not this the carpenter's son? Is not his mother called Mary? Are you seeing the way they are familiarizing Jesus? They are breaking him into sizes. They are minimizing him. Is not this the carpenter's son? Is not his mother called Mary? And his brethren, James and Joseph and Simon and Judas. They're saying, is it not him? We know he is. His mother not called Mary? This is why, sometimes some pastors intentionally create some gap between them and some of the members, so that the members can be blessed. Because there is a way you will see finish the man of God. You will not be blessed again. Because it happened to Jesus. So it happened to Jesus here. You know, there was a time, a particular family. Now, God knows my heart. I'm not saying this because I want you to do anything. It is just, I'm just sharing it. Are you with me? By the grace of God, if you have heard me teach, I'm very careful about things regarding money. But that family, I discovered that, I was asking myself, why is it that this family, whenever they call for a prayer, if I just say it is done, the way miracles be happening, every small time, I mean, I'm talking about mother and all the children, and the four children. Pastor, we want to sow this seed. This man of God, the way they were taking the whole man of God thing, I was wondering. Initially, I was not comfortable with it, but I noticed something. It was as if my word over them had so much power. So what kind of thing is this? How can the guy, there are three girls and one boy in the family. The boy started a business, met me and said, man of God. The way, say, sir, you know, you're my man of God. Me, I was, my conservative nature was cringing. The way the guy does, he said, I've come to sow this seed. Pray for us. We want a contract. I mean, they got a contract of more than 1 billion. I was wondering, He applied for a scholarship in the US. More than 800 people applied. They picked to him and the person, him and somebody else. Everything, man of God. So I was like, Then the Lord showed me it is the honor that is causing that thing. And I said, for you too, all the people have sent to your life, honor them. Are you guys what I'm saying? Now, I just said this for to explain what's going on here. Praise the Lord. Is this not the carpenter's son? Is this not Simon? Is this not Judas? Verse 56. And his sisters, are they not all with us? From whence has this man all these things? This 57. And they were offended in him, but said unto them, there's too much to say about this thing. They were offended in him. Many times, people get angry when somebody close to them becomes great. When they see greatness showing up, what? Instead of you to appreciate that God is doing something big around you, and celebrate it, they were offended. They were offended. Praise the Lord. I feel like, you know, this Israel was a religious community. This thing affects a lot of spiritual people. Spiritual people, even men of God, ministers of the gospel. Many of you are here. Many of you call yourself my sons and daughters in the faith. Is that true? Yes. But I know that there are some of you that are very gifted. I know it. And I will not act like because God sent me to be your leader, you are not gifted. Are you guys what I'm saying? My people know me. If you come and tell me, Pastor, God showed me this. Those of you who are close to me, have there every time you came to meet me and say, Pastor, God showed me something. I said, go ahead and God start talking to you. How will God pass me and talk? Have you not seen people like that? They will say, how did God pass me and talk to you? I don't understand that kind of spirit. But that's what was happening. It's familiarity. You don't believe in what God can do with the person. Maybe because you know the person's flaws. Are you with me? Maybe because you know the person sleeps and, you knew when the person had issues. So you don't believe. But God can use a camel to talk to the prophet. Are you getting me? They were offended. But Jesus said unto them, a prophet is not without honor, save in his own country and his own house. Why is it in his own country that he doesn't have the honor? Because of familiarity. Are you with me? Now, everybody read verse 58. Read verse 58 with a loud voice. Not many mighty works there because of their unbelief. You see that? So that means their familiarity hindered Jesus, God in the flesh. It hindered Jesus. Let me tell you, this is one of the reasons why the name of Jesus is not strong in people's mouth. To them, is it not just the name of Jesus? You see cockroach, Jesus. You see rat, Jesus. I go chop plenty. When you see a plate of food, Jesus. Seafood. So to you, you just is the consciousness of the name. Well, talk for another day. I want to also say something that sacredness is so important because, listen, sacred things only work for sacred people. Sacredness is so important because sacred things only work for sacred people. And I'm going to show you some stories in the Bible to demonstrate this. 2 Kings chapter 4. So in 2 Kings chapter 4, there are so many stories there, but one of the major stories was the story of Elisha, and the Shunammite woman. So Elisha was traveling along a certain path, and he always passed that certain place. And the Shunammite woman was kind of like a well-to-do woman, and she had a husband, but she had no child. And it was as though she had advanced in age a little bit. And she had some honor for Elijah. So Elisha, And she said, if you can read the story, she said, I perceive that this Elisha is a holy man of God. She told her husband, let us make a room for him in our house. And so they made a room for him, so that anytime he's passing there, he would just stay with them and have a place to rest. And one day, Elisha called his servant and said, Gehazi, go and ask her, what does she want? And she said, I'm an honorable woman, I don't need anything. He said, should I talk to the king for you? He said, I don't need you to talk to the king for me. I'm fine just taking care of you. Then he now asked Gehazi, what do you think the woman is? Gehazi said, I've never seen a child around her. And so Elijah said, by this time next year, it shall come to pass. According to the time of life, he will have a child. And she had a son. And she was like, wow, I didn't pray for this. She even told Elijah, please don't deceive me. I don't want a child, please. I don't want anything. But she had a son. And after some years, when the boy was able to walk and play around. One day the boy went to the farm and he just said, my head, and fell down and died. And then she carried the boy and went to Elisha and said, I think I told you I don't want anything. Now this child has died. And then Elisha was kind of busy. And he said, you know what? I'm going to come and pray for your child. Sorry, I misinterpreted the story. She didn't carry the child. The child was in Elisha's room, in her house. So Elisha told her, I'm going to come and pray for the child, but I'm busy right now. I will give my staff of power. If you remember that staff very well, it was as though he got it from Elijah. I think from after Moses' regime, all prophets like to carry staff. And they use it to work miracles. So he gave his staff of power to Gehazi. Go and put my staff on that child, and the staff will come back, and the child will come back to life. And so he sent Gehazi to go and perform a miracle, because the same way Elisha was serving Elijah, Gehazi was serving Elisha. As it were, it was Gehazi's IT of the prophetic and the miraculous. Are you with me? Pay attention to what I'm saying. So after he heard that the woman's son was dead, Elisha said, Gehazi, go, take my staff, go and perform that miracle. And in 2 Kings chapter 4, verse 31, you will see my guy. And Gehazi passed on before them and laid the staff upon the face of the child. But there was neither voice nor hearing. Wherefore he went again to meet him and told him, saying, the child is not awakened or awaked. He said, the child is not awaked. Now, for a long time, I wondered, why did the child not respond to Gehazi? It's not the same staff that Elisha was using to work miracles. Thank God the Bible does not leave us in doubt. There may have been many reasons, but the next chapter quickly told us about the guy called Gehazi. In 2 Kings chapter 5, Naaman, the captain of the Syrian army, was leprous. Naaman came to see Elisha, and Elisha told him, dip yourself into the river Jordan 7 times and you'll become fresh as a child. And he did, and he became healthy and healed, cleaned, and he brought so much gifts to give the man of God. This time around, the man of God did not want anything. In the time of the Shunammite woman, he received her gifts. But this time around, Elisha said, no, I don't want even a kobo from you, even a dime. He begged Elisha. Elisha said no. But I want you to see what Gehazi did. 2 Kings chapter 5 from verse 20. You know, when you hear the story that Gehazi went to collect things, you will not really understand the gravity of what Gehazi did. Let's read it from the Bible. 2 Kings chapter 5 from verse 20. 2 Kings chapter 5 from verse 20. The Bible says, 1 to 3 go. But Gehazi, the servant of Elisha, the man of God, said, behold, my master has spared this Naaman, this Syrian, in not receiving at his hand that which he brought. First of all, that means if Gehazi ever becomes a prophet, he will never spare you. He said, my master just let this one go like that. No, you don't fall my hand. God. See, fish, you know, catch like this. You know, one of the things that you must master before God commits power into you is the ability to know when, even though it is right for you to do, but to know when not to do. When you can restrain, it's called self-control. Restrain yourself. Are you guys what I'm saying? Hey. Is it my master spared this Naaman in not receiving at his hand that which he brought? But as the Lord liveth, I will run after him and take somewhat of him. That's what Gehazi said. He said, as the Lord liveth, I swear. I cannot. This one must not pass me by. So Gehazi followed after Naaman. And when Naaman saw him running after him, he lighted down from the chariot to meet him and said, is all well? And he said, all is well. He knows the church language. It is well. He said, my master has sent me. He lied against the prophet. He said, my master has sent me, saying, behold, even now, there be come to me from Mount Ephraim 2 young men. No young men from anywhere. Of the sons of the prophets. Give them, I pray thee, a talent of silver and 2 changes of garments. And the man said, be content. Take 2 talents. And he urged him and bound 2 talents of silver in 2 bags with 2 changes of garments and laid them upon 2 of his servants, and they bare them before him. And when he came to the tower, he took them by the hand and bestowed them in the house. And he let the men go and they departed. But when he went in and stood before his master, and Elisha said unto him, from whence comest thou, Gehazi? And he said, thy servant went not whither. You see the way he's lying with sweetness. He's not stammering. Me? I didn't go anywhere. Verse 26. And he said unto him, went not my heart with thee? If you read some translations, it reads, did not my spirit go with thee? You know, as you grow in the things of the spirit, you will find out that after a while, has this thing ever happened to you before where you were so close to somebody? When you start thinking about the person just shows up. You know what's happening? You have so mingled together, even your angels know themselves. By the time the person is coming, your own spirit is speaking their presence. I've been close to people to the point where if anything is going wrong with them, I will feel it. I mean, I will feel it physically. Sometimes I will feel it like a pain in my body. As a pastor, you know, one day, years ago, how should I say this? God sees my heart. I'm not saying this to get anybody. Praise the Lord. Years ago, I was walking around church and I saw a lady. And I said, are you okay? She said, I'm fine. Are you okay? She said, I'm fine. She does not know that I've seen a vision about her. Prayed about it. And then I asked her, are you okay? By the third time, she just broke down and started crying. I said, what are you struggling with? Now, look at what he said. He said, when not my heart to thee, when the man turned again from his chariot to meet thee, you did play with prophets. this prophet wicked. He now told him, is it a time to receive money and to receive garments and oliveyards and vineyards and sheep and oxen and men servants and maid servants? He said, the leprosy therefore of Naaman shall cleave unto thee and to thy seed forever. God, I will not be like Elisha. Because it looks like Elisha was a no-nonsense prophet. Elisha was that same prophet that had bowed head. He was walking like this. Four children just came. Bowed head prophet. He says, you shall see. The Lord shall visit thee. And a lion came and Elisha. Oh, my. Praise the Lord. That's to tell you. And Bible scholars even say that those four lepers that we see in 2 Kings chapter 6 were Gehazi and his three sons. Maybe that is why when they saw the plenty, they did not eat it alone. Gehazi had learned. He said, no, let's not eat all this thing. Let's go and tell the king that food has come. He had learned. What was Gehazi's problem? Greed. Greed had blinded him to the point where he has become so familiar with the anointing, with the anointed, he could lie about. Are you with me? You see, this is one of the reasons why a sacred anointing could not work in his hand. Am I talking to you? If you see 1 Samuel chapter 4 from verse 1, from verse 1 to 10, you'll see something similar. Because of our time, I'll just hurry through it. Israel was out of alignment, both the priests, the sons of Samuel, and they were all, their odds were all out of alignment and had sinned against God. And they went to battle with the Philistines. And as they were fighting, they saw that the battle was fierce against them. So they ran and said, go and bring the ark. And by the time they brought the ark of the covenant into the battlefield, the people shouted. And the Philistines saw the way they were shouting and the way the ark came in, they were like, ha, we are dead, though. We are finished today. Who will save us from these mighty gods of the Israelites? But he said, you know what? Let's quit ourselves like men and fight. And guess what? The ark slid them. Guess what? That day, the Bible says that 30,000 footmen died. For their fair Israel, 30,000 footmen. By the time the Philistines were done with them, they said to your tent, who is there? Every man fled to their tent. I'm sure somebody must have gone back home and said, how come they brought this ark and the ark did not work? And to prove to you that it was not about the ark, when the Philistines now captured the ark and took the ark into the house of Dagon, by morning, Dagon's hand had fallen. They put Dagon again. By evening, the other part has fallen. By the end of the week, Dagon was scattered into pieces. So it was not about the potency of the ark. It was about the human beings bearing the ark. That means, once again, if you're not a sacred person, the sacred things will not work in your hand. But that's why some people will be shouting the name of Jesus. Two people will say, Jesus, Jesus. The same Jesus in somebody's hand, in somebody's life, it will be stronger than another person. Are you seeing why sacredness is important? Are you with me? What does it mean to be sacred? To be sacred means to be separated unto God for the purpose of God. Praise the Lord. To be separated unto God for the purpose of God. To be sacred means to be separated unto God for the purpose of God. Sacredness is giving God the honor due to him in your life, treating the things of God with the seriousness it deserves and not lightly. Please, I hope you are learning something. Now, I'm sure you've heard a verse that says, render to God the things that are God, or render to Caesar the things that are Caesar's, and to God the things that are God's. Very important. There are things that belong to God in your life. Render it to God. And we're going to talk about them before this sermon is over. Are you with me? Tell me I'm blessed. See, I've shown you in these two stories how serious sacredness is. How that sacred things will only work in the hands of sacred people. But let me show you one more story of how lack of sacredness has consequences. And let me tell you something. The problem in our generation is that you don't see the consequences immediately. In those days, one of the blessed things that was good about the Old Testament and the old times was that you will see the consequences immediately. But in this generation, you may not even know that it is lack of sacredness that is causing some things. In this generation, you have to really pray that prayer. Lord, deliver me from presumptuous sins. That which I know not, teach me. That which I see not, show me. Let me show you something. Daniel chapter 5. Daniel chapter 5 from verse 1. The Bible says, Belshazzar, the king, made a great feast to 1,000 of his lords and drank wine before the 1,000. Belshazzar, while he tasted the wine, commanded to bring the golden and silver vessels which his father Nebuchadnezzar had taken out of the temple which was in Jerusalem, that the king and his princes, his wives and his concubines might drink therein. Then he brought the golden vessels that were taken out of the temple of the house of God which was at Jerusalem, and the king and his princes, his wives and his concubines drank in them. And they praised the God of gold, and the God of silver and brass, of iron, of wood, and of stone. Verse 5. In the same hour came forth fingers of a man's hand. Well, a day. Let's see. By the time he saw finger already on the wall, he said, there is problem. In the same hour came forth fingers of a man's hand and wrote over against the candlestick upon the plaster of the wall of the king's palace. And the king saw the part of the hand that wrote. Verse 6. Then the king's countenance was changed, and his thoughts troubled him, so that the joints of his loins were loosed. He reached to lose your joints. Imagine we are here like this, and you see a hand. Just come and start writing. Some of you may say, ah, that's so weird. But have you ever been in a situation where you were somewhere, and all of you were laughing, and you just said something, and it's like something caught you inside? That was the Holy Ghost telling you, wahala day. You have crossed your boundary. You have crossed your boundary. You've done what you ought not to do. That's what's happening here. They went and said, let me take the cups. You know the funny thing? Nebuchadnezzar got those cups when Israel sinned against God. Are you following this? Israel sinned against God under their weak leader, King Zedekiah. And Zedekiah had sinned against God. He was one of the descendants of Solomon. And so, in trying to keep his territory, he sinned the more. Jeremiah warned him. He was a king in the days of Jeremiah. Jeremiah was warning him. In fact, it's because of King Zedekiah, Jeremiah wrote the book of Lamentations. Because Jeremiah was always lamenting to King Zedekiah, the way you are going, you are not, you know, you, where you are going, you lose everything. But the guy said, no, who are you to talk to me? And they arrested Jeremiah and locked him up. And do you know what Zedekiah did? Zedekiah went and employed another prophet. Pashur. No, his name was Pashur, not Pastor. Pashur dealt to Jeremiah. Every time they bring Jeremiah to talk, they will say, we know that Jeremiah will bring a prophecy of doom. All the other prophets that they hired were telling Zedekiah, don't worry, you will do well. Don't worry, no matter what you have done, it will be okay. He went and allied himself with the king of Egypt. And God told him, the only way to be solved this problem is to repent. But Zedekiah said, no, I will align myself with Egypt. And God said, because of this, I will send the great Babylon to capture you. And when Nebuchadnezzar came, he removed the eyes of Zedekiah. And he killed Zedekiah's children in his front. First of all, he killed his children and then removed his eyes. And then captured all the things from the temple and brought it to Babylon. And Belshazzar, Nebuchadnezzar's son, now felt like, we are the ones in charge. Bring the golden things from the temple. Let us drink. And when he was drinking with cups, you can imagine, cups that God separated for himself, God wrote on the wall. That's to tell you the jealousy of God. There are some things you are playing with. To you is nothing, but to God is everything. Why will God judge an entire kingdom because of cup? Well, you are dealing with the God of spirits, the Father of spirits. Golden cup that belongs to God in the temple. Belshazzar said, I will use it and drink. You see, is this thing about sacredness? If you have not learned sacredness, you are still a baby in the spirit. God will tell somebody. When you see people arguing about tithes, they are still children. Because one of the signs that you are matured in is that God will test you. At different levels, he's trying to teach you. Do you know what sacredness is? Have you been in the situation before? You are talking. You just feel like the Holy Ghost is telling you, stop. You can feel the Holy Ghost within you saying, shh, stop. If you continue, you don't know what sacredness is. He's telling you, shh, you've talked enough. Don't talk again. If you continue, you know, you are trying to say that his power is not strong enough to restrain you. His opinion is not strong enough over your life. Are you getting what I'm saying? It is sacredness that God was trying to teach them in the garden. Say, you can eat of everything, but you see this one. Don't eat of it. We know you are a mature Christian when you start having those kind of dealings of God in your life. You lost your temper. You shouted. As you finish shouting, you lost your peace. That's the Holy Ghost telling you, no, you've crossed the line. And by the time they check what the finger wrote, he says, many, take care of fasting. If there was any place that showed how interpretation of tongues works, it is many, take care of fasting. You can read it. He said, this was verse 25. He said, this is the writing that was written. Many, take care of fasting. This is the interpretation of the thing. Many, just many. God has numbered thy kingdom and finished it. Tekel. Thou art weighed in the balance and found wanting. That's why interpretation of tongues is not translation of tongues. In translation, you are saying labrada means you will go. But in interpretation, la can mean, or mene can mean you have been weighed and have found wanting and has been finished. Are you getting me? So Daniel came and gave him the word. Not too long after then, the prince of Persia, the Persian army, came and took over Babylon simply because a man took cup with no concern him. I'm telling you, not too long after, Cyrus came and overthrew Belshazzar. And Belshazzar will know that it was because he went to collect golden cup that belonged to the Lord. Lack of sacredness has consequences. There are some people, their problem started when they lost sacredness. That's why, forget that we are talking about woke generation, this generation. Don't join them. There are things, there are powers beyond what you know. Are you getting what I'm saying? Years ago in the church I grew up in, there was a woman. I don't know who offended her. I don't know who made her angry. I don't know. But that's why she came to church. And our father, our papa then was ministering. Papa Maga was ministering. And so it was an anointing service. He was laying hands on people Father, touch them. And he went into the crowd and said, if you are sick. So there was just one line where there were a lot of people who were raising their hand. Papa, please come and pray for us. And he, you know, that kind of move of the spirit. Where, and they were just raising their hands. So he came down and was touching them. So you know when, like, I'm laying hands on you, laying hands on you. So he laid hands on this woman. It was like this woman did not want to be laid hands on. Do you know what she did? As the hand was coming, she hit the hand. She's like, come on, get out. I'm telling you, in church. And so, very wise man of God. He didn't pretend. He didn't act like anything happened, though. He just kept on praying for the people. Within 3 minutes, strange rashes came over her body. Physically in church, they had to carry out. She had to scratch her body. You know when they say outright judgment? In this, it's not like no cost, nothing like, in the service. So the ushers carried her out. And guess what? You know, stubbornness has a way of, when Satan has planned for you, she was saying, I don't care. She was still bragging. 2 months later, by the time they had to bring her back because she had gone everywhere for prayer. She met one man of God and told her, said, this thing that is going to happen to you, you offended, you did something to a man of God, and the justice of God has held you ransom. I know you used to hear grace teaching, say, God does not judge. Okay, no problem. No problem, it's fine. Did Abraham not call him the judge of the whole earth? Oh, God. There are people that will die strange deaths. This generation has seen the highest number of young people dying, and they don't know why. One of the reasons is that there are some discussions you don't put your mouth in. Are you with me? It's not everything. Just join them. Just talk. What I don't know, I said, see, I don't know. this one, I don't know. There are some things I don't know. I'm not trying to scare you. It's just what it is. No, it's just what it is. So by the time they brought her, the man of God said, he didn't even know anything. He had no idea what was going on. He said, he was now praying. I said, God, why would somebody be suffering because of me and I don't even know? When he made that statement, she was healed instantly. Instantly. God forbid the man was not dead. So how do we practice sacredness? Number one, the right revelation. You know, it is this lack of sacredness that has made the current day church. We play with things we should be serious about. We play with everything. You will bring a comedian to church, and a comedian will be making jokes around speaking in tongues. Are you okay? On the altar. Of course, in the presence of God, there's fullness of joy. We can laugh, but there is a limit to what we laugh about. Are you with me? It's just like Belshazzar bringing the cups of the Lord. He just start taking spiritual things. He say, you get one pastor, eh? You get one pastor, eh? He just they do like this. He can't speak in tongues. You are mocking. They will do jokes and skits to mock prophecy, mock speaking in tongues, mock the Holy Ghost. And everybody is laughing. Ka, 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 ka. Say, this church, I don't even know why the Holy Ghost is not moving. The Holy Ghost left. You know, one day in New Bridge, Lagos, one of our members, his mom was a pastor. She pastors in the United States. So she was around for like a month. She is mom. And that period, who remembers last year when we were talking about May, the Holy Ghost. And we were talking about new wine, and there was always this move of the Spirit in all our services. So it was so strong in Lagos Church, that sometimes we close the service, and people are just crying. Power of God is just strong. People are just weeping. And after one of those meetings, she met me and said, if you know how scarce this thing that people are seeing like this is, where I'm coming from. She said, she can't count the last time. She cannot remember the last time she saw something like this in the last 15 years. Where the Holy Ghost has free course. You chased him away now. Praise the Lord. The right revelation. Mark chapter 12 from verse 15. Mark 12 verse 15 to 17. So they came to ask Jesus and his disciples, should they pay tax? Because they wanted to just find a way to get him to say what he ought not to say. Then the disciples asked him, shall we give or shall we not give? But he, knowing their hypocrisy, said unto them, why tempt ye me? Bring me a penny that I may see it. And they brought it, and he said unto them, who is this image and superscription. And they said unto him, Caesar's. And Jesus answering said unto them, render to Caesar the things that are Caesar's, and to God the things that are God's. And they marveled at him. So now, using this analogy, or using this line of criteria, what are the things that belong to God? So, how did we know what belongs to Caesar? We look for the thing that is carrying Caesar's image and Caesar's superscription. What is carrying God's image? You are afraid to talk. What is carrying image? What is carrying God's image? Man, we. So that means if we are carrying God's image, that means we belong to God. We are the things to be given to God. Are you with me? You say, oh, give me the coin. It's carrying Caesar's image, right? So it belongs to Caesar. Whatever is carrying God's image belongs to God. So if I'm carrying God's image, if we are made in God's image and likeness, we belong to God. So sacredness is not just about a thing you do or a thing you have. It's about all of you first. All of you. He's either Lord of all or not Lord at all. You are God's sacred property. You've been bought with a price. 1 Corinthians 6 verse 19 says, what? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? Are you seeing this? You are not your own. You've been bought with a price. So you belong to him. You are God's sacred property. That means when you get born again, the issue of sacredness is the new modus operandi of your life. Are you with me? So, the right revelation. You must first of all understand that I belong to God. I will be where God wants me. Say after me, I belong to God. I will be where God wants me to be. When God wants me to be. Doing what he wants me to do. In the way he wants me to do it. For instance, I and my wife and some other people were just gisting. I'm talking about how the culture shock between Port Harcourt and Abuja. And we're talking about how, first of all, the price difference. Oh my God. Oh my God. You can buy something for 8,000 and you buy it in Port Harcourt. You will buy it for 20,000 in Abuja. I'm telling you. Convenience, you can relate to me. What? The price difference. I've stayed in a house in Port Harcourt, a 3-bedroom flat for 700,000. Try it in Abuja. But when he asks you, what's your budget? Say, the agent may chase you away. Say, I want a 3-bedroom flat, sir. Say, so how much is your budget? Say, my budget is about 700, 750. So, will you get out of here? But when it boils down to it, the Lord wants me here. Period. It's not about what I want. It is what he wants. Are you getting me? And besides, I love to be with all of you. My God has made my heart. He's thinking Abuja. Usually, before, when Abuja was not my place, if I come here, what? I can't even stay for 3 days. Boom, I've gone. Now, if I step out of Abuja for one day, it's like what am I doing here? I need to go back. My family is there, man. New breed is there. I can feel the ghost just saying, Pastor. But you know, new breed, Lagos, Port Harcourt, everywhere, Ireland, London, we are all family. You know that, right? Yeah. Amen. So, the right revelation that you are God's property. When you want to do something, you're like, is this what God wants me to do? Is this where God wants me to be? Are you following me? Sacredness. You can't just engage in. You ask God, Lord, what is your plan? What is your will? Even in the use, we talk about tithes. Oh, that's a level. As you grow in the use of your money, you'll be like, this thing I want to use my money. It's not just your title. Even the way you use your money. There are some things you feel the Lord saying, don't spend money like that. And many times it's for your good. It will change the way you relate to everything, every single thing. Number two, in your devotion, sacredness. Jeremiah 29 verse 13. He says, and ye shall seek me and find me when ye shall search for me with all your hearts. Are you seeing? sacredness now with all your heart, meaning God must have that hallowed place. Not you are praying in tongues. Liko rabasambarate. Bros, warm that soul for me. At the same time, you are praying in tongues. Sometimes you can be praying in tongues and you have to respond to something, but not when you are playing, when you are praying. Are you getting me? Sometimes you can be praying in tongues and you may have to, maybe there's an urgent message or something, maybe work related, maybe ministry related, maybe life related, maybe family related. Maybe you could be praying and they tell you, your daughter is acting up or something's happened to your wife or somebody. You can say, I'm coming, and reply them. Not that you are praying and you are just watching one skit on Facebook. Lika baravarava. Oh, see, this guy is stupid. Leko borobo seke. You will not catch yourself back. Lika baraba sheko. What are you doing? You will search for me and find me when you search for me with all your heart. That's why closing your eyes is important. That's what they were trying to teach us. Sacredness. Liko pataka. You focus. Some people, it's not even anything external, it's internal now. Lord. The interpretation of that tongue is shawama, shawama. And prayer is first of all a heart issue before a mouth issue. So Matthew 15, verse 8, he said, these people, they draw to me with their mouth, but their heart is far from me. Far! Tell your neighbor, sacredness in devotion. Are you getting something? And another thing in sacredness in devotion is talking about putting your heart into something. Not just doing it for the sake of religion. See, you know, I've been encouraging us. One of the reasons why we have not started Midnight Encounter this year, I pray in the midnight, is because I feel like many of you don't take our devotion serious. 6 a.m. You are awake, oh! You are awake! It's not like you're not awake. You are awake. You just go and be... You will see 6 a.m. what people are posting online. You know that they are up and grateful. Or maybe up and ungrateful. They are awake. You will see the link. Let us pray. Morning devotion. Say, oh God. Let me just watch this thing. You just be playing around your phone. No. Pray. Be serious about it. Don't just tick a box, I've prayed. When you are praying, put your heart. Have you not noticed that when you pray and put your heart, the prayer is sweeter and you can stay longer? But when you are just praying, once it's 6:30, once it's 2:30, I will go. By the time it's 6:31, I still pray, you get angry. That's a sign that your heart is not inside. You are just... Sometimes people are in church, they are praying, they are worshiping, their mind is not there. They're just, for all these things my hands have made, so all these things came into being by me and for me, declares the Lord. But to this one will I look graciously, to him that is humble and contrite in spirit, who reverently trembles at my word and honors my commands. When you are so great like God, there is nothing anybody can give to God that will like get him scared. Like, you gave this thing. I've never seen anything like this before. God will not say, Kai, what kind of seed? I've never seen this seed before. There is nothing you will give to God that God will be like, I've never seen it before. Are you with me? But you see, obedience. Obedience touches him like we can see. They told Saul, to obey is better than sacrifice. To obey. In fact, you can see 1 Samuel 15, from verse 22 to 23. He says, let me read verse 23. Verse 22 starts. That's where you see, to obey is better than sacrifice. So, and Samuel said, had the Lord has great delight in burnt offerings as in obeying the voice of the Lord. He's trying to say, do you think God is more interested in burnt offerings than in obedience? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams. For rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. Are you seeing this? Stubbornness. Rebellion is witchcraft and idolatry. Can you imagine? You will be seeing people. God will be telling them. There will be something God is telling them expressly to stop. Therefore, ye shall not bring this congregation into the land which I have given them. God told him, speak to the rock. Don't strike the rock. But he said, Lord, I'm angry. Out of anger, he struck the rock twice. You know the interesting thing? He has struck the rock before. And it brought forth water. Now God said, I don't want you to strike it again. I want you to speak to it. You know, somebody asked me a question. Maybe this would be a good time to answer that question. Somebody asked me a question one time and said, why was there a problem with Moses striking the rock? And I explained to them that if you study 1 Corinthians, the Bible says that that rock represented Christ. They drank of this rock which followed them, which was Christ. Are you with me? Striking the rock was significant of the fact that he will be struck by men to die. Are you with me? And then water came out of him. Are you following this? But striking him twice was Moses breaking God's order. Moses striking the rock twice was trying to declare that Christ would die twice for salvation. And to God, that was a big deal because everything in the Old Testament was a shadow of things to come. How can Moses destroy such a spiritual pattern? So he has to be punished. Now, somebody now said, okay, if striking the rock meant his death, what does speaking to the rock mean? Are you following this? Okay. Striking the rock meant his death, but speaking to the rock meant calling unto him for salvation. So, he has been struck to die. But if men will believe, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord, as it were, whosoever shall speak to this rock shall be saved. So, that was, Moses was supposed to fulfill God's pattern in, okay, he has been struck. You know, there was a time when people were arguing, is masturbation a sin? Is masturbation a sin? See, your body is God's temple. You cannot just, it's wrong. Some say, oh, but it's just it's your body. See, your body, your choice. Mm-mm-mm. Your body is his property. Service in church is a sign of sacredness. This is the work of the Lord. Oh. This is the work of the Lord. This is God's thing. Are you with me? We handle it with seriousness. Even as a minister, I think that's one of the first things God taught me, knowing the Lord. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. Now wake up in the morning and the first thing you just say, so what's going to happen now? You've not prayed. Somebody say you woke up in the morning, you've not even checked if you can still talk. You have carried your phone. Honor the Lord. Even if you don't have, maybe you are late, you cannot, at least you stand up and say, thank you, Jesus. Are you getting me? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Practice it. Can you say it with me? Thank you, Jesus. Say it again. Thank you, Jesus. Some of you, my people are different. Amen? Amen. Some people, every month, I don't die, oh! I am finished. Like, hey, my village people have found me. No. Is that how you honor the Lord in trying times? After the when maybe you almost had an accident, and something happened, and maybe the customer saw that you come out like this. I am more than a conqueror. Are you with me? You come out and say, I am born of the King. You honor the Lord. In trying times, you honor the Lord. Look at your bank account. You are seeing 00 cover, maybe minus self. Say, the Lord has prospered me. Say it, the Lord has prospered me. Are you with me? Sometimes I'm a sacred man, I'm a sacred lady. Jump on your feet.